Good morning. It is the news. According to me. Good morning, folks. It is Monday, May 25th, 6:52 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am up and at 'em this morning. And it is Memorial Day. It is the Memorial Day weekend. And of course, we are here in memory of those who've gone before us and those who have given, some given all. Some gave their all, and some of them, all was taken from them. Some gave their all and survived, some gave their all and didn't. I think it's fitting to honor those who've served. I appreciate that. It seems like it's a time when our nation is so torn apart and so, in some ways, vilified by certain groups. That it just, when you pause and reflect, yeah, our nation has done some things. Some people in our nation have done some things, and that are not. Honorable. And yet, some of the most honorable things that have ever been done in the history of the world have been done by people in this nation and by this nation. You have to realize that it is a country that has warts, and we will love it, warts and all. The very people who stand up and protest have the right to do so. They would not be allowed to do that in other countries. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as the day goes on. But in the meantime, there are several things that I would like to discuss today. I was busy with creativity over the weekend. I was actually in the nation's capital for a couple of days, and I didn't. The weather was really sloppy. It was just, I think it still is today. I'm not sure if it's even nice today at all. But it was just rainy, drizzly, cold. It was just, it wasn't pleasant being there. I was going to get out and walk, go down to the Washington Mall. Now, there's the Pentagon Mall as well. There's another, I could have gotten there probably. Because the area that I'm in now is much further from the mall area. And I really wanted to see the reflection pond, but I wasn't able to do that. We have, so in my cup this morning, I have chai, of course, with coconut cream creamer, because I am in the home studio. It's hot. A little too hot. Thank you very much. In my backup cup, I have no tea. I thought I was going to have some tea this morning because I had some leftover from Chick-fil-A on Saturday, but it apparently was in my I had it in my thermos. Left my thermos out in the car last night. The problem was the tea that I already had in the thermos was getting a little bit funky. And because I washed it out a little bit, I kind of rinsed it out, put the other tea in there. The other tea was already kind of old when I got it. Believe it or not, I got tea from Chick-fil-A that was actually a little bit on the old side. Of course, it was late in the day. I think they had some issues there with keeping things scrubbed out. It was in a, ended up getting where was it, Chick-fil-A? I got the tea. I guess someplace got it. Anyway, it was in the morning, I think it was the morning, Saturday mornings when I got it. And so it just wasn't quite the best tea ever. So I ended up, actually I got it Friday night. I guess I got it Friday night. Yeah, that's where I got it. Anyway, I can't remember. So it just didn't last very long. So this morning it wasn't going to drink it. I have water in my backup cup this morning. So that's all we got. And what is that? Oh, it's cat. It was apparently the cat was in here doing the show. On today's show, we have a few things. It's Mishmash Monday, so we're going to have just whatever. The AI people, the AI probably aren't going to talk about Memorial Day. This is the second opportunity. This is the first. This is a different agent that did. Actually, I didn't actually have an agent do it last time. This is the first time my personal little AI agent bot. Yes, every day he's supposed to now every Monday through Friday he's going to it's going to I give him a male name basically. It's kind of sort of, I guess. This little thing is supposed to give me show prep every day, but it's supposed to fill in the initial call in from all my AI callers. So it'll be interesting to see what we have today. Who knows what it'll be. I don't know what it'll be about. It only looked at a couple transcripts to figure out what was happening with that. So it's hard to tell what it's going to come up with. So here we go. We got that going on. I also was a little bit creative with some things over the weekend. And I've got some shorter versions of this thing now. I made some longer versions. I can't remember which ones were kind of my favorites. I think this might be one of them. We're going to play this and see what you think. It's a little bit different of a bumper than I normally use. So it's I think it's fitting for the beginning of the show. So I'm going to go with this.
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two. But I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. I might say something that sounds real official, like, and sure, I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word. Call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that, hey, come back, I'll enter.
There you have it, folks. That is the Fortunately, I had my mute button on because I was kind of singing along with that. I thought I was making some background comments throughout the whole thing. But there you go, folks. That's the that's one of eight. You're gonna get to listen to all of them. There's a shorter one, a couple shorter ones that are I'll be playing more regularly after I get through all the others. Once you've been thoroughly entertained by those, they're right there. So we have a few things to get into. We have the callers are here doing their thing. I wonder if it picked up any of that on the transcripts. I hope it did. I didn't really pick up the music. I mean, it doesn't really transcript transcriptiber. I call it the transcriptiber on my podcast caller app. Some interesting things developing with that, with the podcast caller app, by the way. There are some other ideas that I have in the background that are going to be plugins, things that people will be able to do with it. It should be fairly interesting to see how it all transforms over the years. Hopefully, it's an idea that people will buy into, literally. We'll see how it goes, but there's an awful lot of podcasters out there. I think there's... I know I ran the numbers on it at one point. I think it was 1,400. I can't remember. How many podcasters? Are there just in the U.S. alone? Roughly five. Oh, globally. That's globally. 4.5 million globally. 430,000 are actively producing new episodes. Vast majority of them are in the United States. Doesn't give me the actual numbers in the United States. Apple Podcast Index is about 2.7 million valid shows. So there's a 2.7 million show. Now, some people have more than one show, which is very typical on YouTube as well. Now, the podcasts are loosely defined. Some people call their YouTube show a podcast. Because they take the audio from that and put it into a podcast, where they could just consider it a podcast. So it's kind of an interesting thing there. But Spotify hosts roughly 7 million podcast titles on its platform. So there's a few out there. And when you look at that, with regard to, where's my calculator? I thought I had a calculator here somewhere. What happened to it? Calculator. It's applications. Let's go to applications calculator. It normally is just right up here in front of me. I don't know what happened to it. I thought I had it on one of my pages, but now I don't see it. That's interesting. Where'd it go? There it is. Okay, we got it. So if there are, let's go with the low number. Looks like the low number here. Let's just go with 4 million. Just make it that. There we go. There's 4 million. Now, if you just look at just 1% of the market, let's see, what is that? 0.01. Everybody's going to carry the 2, 5 plus prime. It's potentially just 1% of the market would be, which I probably will not get. I might get a little bit less than that. That's 40,000 individuals. If that are potentially in the market, I would say 40,000 that are potentially in the market that are possibilities. Now I've got with that number, of course I can't. It's hard to reach that all those people. So even if there's a tenth of that number, let's just take that times 10. This is how you do. This is how you kind of loosely figure your market. That's 4,000, pretty solid 4,000 customers that I potentially have. So that's not too bad, considering that the average, it's going to be a subscription thing. So see how that ends up working out. But over the course of a year, it's a nice little side income. Let's just put it that way. It's not. I mean, I can make a living on it, but it's not. I can't get rich on that by any means. The thing that does work eventually is when you produce a product like this. When you produce some software like this, that can also become a software plug-in And then you have other platforms that are willing to buy it as a plugin on their site. And then there's a further reach with that. And then eventually other applications that you can, you know, that you can morph it into. It can become a very solid, nice, I would say, passive income, because there's a lot going on. The nice thing about it with the agents is that it's all digital. So that's where agents thrive. They thrive in the digital world, and you can literally get the agents to spin up and run basically automation of all kinds. And you can take care of all your clients. If I have 4,000 customers, which I didn't, that's not what I calculated it on. Actually, if I had 4,000 customers for what I'm going to probably charge for this, now we're talking. That's what I'd figured out for. I think it was 40,000. If I had 40,000 customers, even just 10,000 customers, but if I maxed it out and was able to get the total number that we know we're talking enough, there's enough income there that I can probably afford a small team to operate the whole thing and make sure it works. But it's a gamble. It's always a gamble. There is, you know, any business that you get into is always somewhat risky. There's, you know, you want to have as least amount of overhead as you can to start with, and then, you know, go from there. And it's that way you can kind of control your costs a little bit, and that we don't as much risk involved. Get a high overhead type thing with lots of risk. It's really sad. But anyway, let's go with a caller here. Let's start off with Chloe, because she's the, just get that out of the way. I have no idea what she's going to say. Hopefully I got this. I guess there was a show last week I kind of messed up on.
Oh my gosh, Kevin, hey.
Oh, here we go.
So like, everyone at brunch this weekend was talking about AI this and AI that, and I'm just like, is this actually real, or is it just like NFTs all over again? Because remember when everyone said we'd all be buying virtual houses and now nobody talks about it? Is AI going to be the same thing, or should I actually care?
I don't know if you should care. Look, AI is here. It's here to stay. However, there are a lot of issues with it, and it's not. I think it's being touted as something. They're all looking for investors, and I think that this is where it gets weird, because back in the bubbles that have been in the past have been more consumer bubbles and investment related stuff. People would buy like the housing market. That was something that hit everybody in their pocketbook, because everybody was buying a house. It was, you know, or people, not everybody, but people buy, you know, the average consumer buys a house. Now there were, you know, investors, there were developers, that kind of thing. Some of them would do that kind of thing. So they were somewhat involved in some of that. But it hit everybody, I think, more on Main Street than Wall Street. It hit Wall Street as well because of all the loaning, you know, NFTs, like you're saying. I think in this case, the only place it's going to hit you is in your 401k. I think the bubble, as it were, or the deceptive part of this is that there are big money people investing big money to build big things because of the promise of AI, and I don't think it's there yet. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of things that it's just not going to, you know, it just doesn't take, just, it's just not that smart. I hate to say it because I'm talking to it right now, but it's there's a long way to go yet. It's got a lot of learning to do, so to speak. And so it's in the different models, it's just weird. It's a misunderstood technology at this point, I think. And so I think that's where we are. And until we start to get some handles on what it actually is and what it can do for us, I think that's where we probably run into a lot of problems with a lot of this. So I does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making any sense or not, but I'll leave it at that. Like I was saying, it just, I don't know, what do you think? Go ahead and jump in there, Chloe.
Okay, wait. So you're saying like the average person won't get totally wrecked by an AI bubble the way they did with housing? It's just going to tank our retirement funds instead, and that's somehow better? That's low-key terrifying, honestly, because at least with houses, people could see what they were buying. But these billionaires are just throwing money at AI hype, and we're all just vibing in the dark waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's the problem is it's not the problem of, you know, AI or the billionaires. Oh, who cares if they lose money? I do care if they lose money because they are the future in terms of investment. I can't go out and start a battery manufacturing company. You know, I have to put $900 million into a. There's a data center here, close, not too far from us. Here, about 25 minutes away. It's a drive. It's probably 30 miles. And right across the road, they're building another facility that's manufacturing batteries. Now, right in the middle of building the building, it's a huge building. It takes up probably almost a quarter of a square mile. As they're building that thing, the technology changed. The battery technology changed. And the whole type of battery they're going to manufacture changed. They had to stop building the building for a while and retool everything. And then so now it's a whole different kind of facility, and they're going to build a different style battery. And we're talking huge, huge. I can't do that. I can't go out. I go to the bank. Hey, can I have a loan for, $700 million so I can start a battery manufacturer? They're going to look at you sideways. They're probably going to call in security and have you ushered out the door. The idea that you can just, I can do that. These are the people, and if they're just flushing it down the toilet, which seems to be the case in some cases, this could be a problem for them. And now, who's going to be doing the investing in other infrastructure that needs to happen? This tax the rich idea. If there's no rich anymore, who's going to be taxed? It's going to be us for all these wonderful services that the government provides. So it's a tough situation, I think. It's not going to be easy for anybody. So our retirement funds are going to be wiped out. Not necessarily. You have some control over retirement funds. You can control whether your funds go into the tech industry. You can control whether they go into, agriculture, whatever it is. You have some control over that. Now, it'll hurt the entire market itself, but it won't, it's whether or not you want to be invested in big tech or not. A diversified portfolio is always a safest bet. However, I am not afraid of this whole thing for some reason. I've heard some things this last week about something about the stock market crashing or whatever was going to happen with it, and that didn't happen. I don't see any record of that happening. There were some ups and downs. There were some sectors of the market that didn't do well. There were some other sectors that did very well, which is always the case. It always seems like it's the case. So I don't know. I'm not a financial counselor. But I do believe that there are some things that are working out with the investments and that kind of thing.
But that's literally wild, though. Like, those battery companies had to completely pivot mid-construction because tech changed so fast, and that's going to keep happening with AI until we actually figure out what it can really do, right? So it's basically rich people gambling with billions while we're stuck watching our 401ks get affected, and we can't even diversify away from it because tech is everywhere now. That's the real scam, honestly.
Yeah, pretty much. I think you're hitting on something there that's pretty much accurate. It is kind of an interesting thing that's happening at this point. I don't know. Let's just see what Artie has to say. Sometimes some of these guys jump in right away, so don't. Click the button.
Hey, Kevin, technical question for you here.
All right, here we
over the weekend, I was diving deep into the infrastructure behind these AI models everyone's hyping up, and I'm seeing compute costs are absolutely astronomical. How are these companies like Anthropic actually sustaining billion-dollar valuations when their server farms are burning cash faster than they can fundraise? The math doesn't add up.
Boy, sorry, I hit the microphone there. You've hit on something very important, and I almost touched on it in the last call. I didn't realize there was everything. Maybe everything's going to be about AI today. I don't know. I should have had this stuff on Tuesday. So this is a problem, and there are people inside the industry who are even talking about it. They're saying this isn't sustainable. It's not, we can't continue to do this. We're blowing more money. Most of these tech companies who are doing the AI work that have the models that have the frontier, what they call the frontier models, that are ones that are out there doing the frontier work. Much of them are, many of them, or I should say many of them are, many of the other AI models that are coming along are basing their, or harnessing the, sorry for the background ding. I just gotta shut those off when I do the show. The tough part of it is that they're behind the scenes, they're spending a lot of money to try to become the place to go. Here's how I see it. This is my understanding of what's going to happen here. There's all these companies out there who are, some of them are what's called frontier models. So they're out there doing their thing. They're out there building the actual structure of an AI system. Now you can have a local AI in your home. You can literally start. There's open source models you can put in your home. Probably cost you, you know, between $10,000 and $12,000 to put the thing together if to really do it right. And you can literally run the thing off your home. Now the problem where you run into problems with this is you, bandwidth. You can't just go out there and be at the next Anthropic. We're talking, you know, trillions of bits of data per minute. Or per second, whatever it is, being computed. And you can do that. The problem is the data's got nowhere to go because it's you know, if you're running one of the old phone lines, you know, with the, that's not going to work. You're 720 kilobytes or what does it go? What do they call? Not even megabytes. What would just byte bits? I think. I think it was 720 used to be the fast one back in the day when we just had a regular phone line. Everything was down over a phone line. You couldn't get much faster than that. Then of course, we started getting into more and more digitized stuff. Because basically, the initial internet was basically transmitting information like a fax machine transmits information, which is, that's how fast it was. And then it became, you know, now we're down to, you know, gigabytes of data per second or whatever. It's ridiculous. Now that's still not enough to make, you know, to offer yourself out as a logical model. However, for your own personal use or a limited, you know, infrastructure, like a small business could very easily potentially have their own model and operate everything off of that. It would work, but you can't offer that out to, you know, a million people. That's just not going to happen. Because there's just not the, you know, you don't have the ability to do that. So the bandwidth isn't there. Now, having said that, what's happening is these companies are vying, and there's some of them are starting to merge now. They're starting to borrow each other's computing power and do that kind of thing. So there are alliances starting to happen, which is going to lead to mergers eventually. And you're going to get down to let's just like we do with the big, you know, with the auto industry or the airline industry, you're going to have the big three. You're going to have the big two or three, maybe four. And then you're going to have the smaller ones who are always trying to cut into the market, trying to, you know, but they're just not going to be able to compete in terms of performance. But they're still going to be there for a certain segment of the population. And what's going to happen at that point is you're going to see that, you know, the fewer options you have, the higher the prices are going to go. And whoever wants to be the top of the piggy pile at that time. Now, Anthropic is starting to draw a lot of high, I would say, high value resources in terms of people. And there are some people who are leaving other companies and going to Anthropic. So as that's happening, we have the makings of more of a, I would call it a merger culture. So at some point, I think they're all investing in this, hoping that at some point it pays off. And of course, now the government's behind some of it too. They're providing funding right now for all this stuff because the government's using it a lot for, especially for the military. So there's a lot of funding coming from, you know, black bag funding type things, and some places where we don't understand where the money's coming from. But it's and there's kind of a war going on in some respects between countries and between some providers. I know between China with DeepSeek and everything else that's going on. So it's a tough situation. And you nailed something there. I think that it's even people in the industry realize this isn't sustainable. We can't keep doing this. So we'll see how it all pans out. But that's kind of my perspective on it. That's all I know about it. That's the depth of far as I can go with it. I don't know if I might.
Be yeah, able. I've been looking into this, and technically speaking, the sustainability issue you're hitting on is the real crux of it. These companies are burning through billions just on compute infrastructure and energy costs, and the math fundamentally doesn't work for profitability at current pricing models. What you're describing about the consolidation parallels is spot on, but I'd push back slightly on the timeline. I think we'll see strategic partnerships and compute sharing arrangements before we get full mergers, kind of like how AWS became the backbone for companies that can't afford their own data centers. The geopolitical angle with DeepSeek and the military funding you mentioned is where it gets interesting, though, because that government money might actually shield some players from having to be profitable, which could prevent the natural consolidation you'd normally expect.
Yeah, that is part of the. It's almost as if it's kind of like dark money. They're kind of the government's kind of picking and choosing who they want to be on top. And I know that Pete Hegseth came out and kind of spoke out against Anthropic because they had some disagreements there because Anthropic wouldn't do what they wanted them to do. So they became they kind of got vilified by the administration. But at the same time, and Anthropic's got its own problems. They've had a couple of data dumps that have been supposedly accidental. I don't know how possible that is. They came up with reasons why it got, you know, they dumped their whole model out there that they were for everybody to see. It was some other, they've done a couple things. I mean, not just once. It's happened several times in the last couple of months, which kind of makes you wonder, you know, how dependable, how secure that company is. Now they brought on some other people that I think will help them with that, but it's, you have to wonder if it was a mistake or if it was actually done intentionally just to, I don't know. Sometimes I don't think some mistakes are done and mistakenly done. In my own setting up of my own agents and my own system here, it's very obvious and it's very clear that security is number one. And that's the main thing you, they spend big money on security for those companies and they write security software. I mean, it's one of those things where you bake that into the cake whenever you do something like that. And how it was able to just do it on its own and dump something out there without anybody looking at it, frankly, I'm a little skeptical about that. But I hadn't thought about the angle of the alliances and that kind of thing are happening too. We'll have to just kind of see, I guess, what happens going forward. There's always the possibility of some event or something happening as well. So it's something within
that. That's the thing that gets me, too. If you're spending billions on security infrastructure and you still have multiple accidental model dumps, that's either catastrophic negligence or something else is going on. And honestly, I'm skeptical. It's negligence. The fact that Anthropic is bleeding talent right now because of the administration pressure makes them vulnerable. And whether those dumps are intentional leaks or genuine security failures, it's undermining their position in the market at exactly the wrong time.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting how that's all working out. Let's see what Skip has to say. Skip always jumps in here really quick, seems like. What do you have to say there, Skip?
Kevin, my man, I got to push back on something. Everyone's acting like this Memorial Day weekend was just another holiday, but I'm skeptical that people even remember what we're commemorating anymore. Do you think we've lost the plot on honoring our fallen heroes, or am I just being too cynical about how Americans treat sacrifice these days?
Yeah, sadly, I have to agree. I think that the... there is an issue, I think, that we have in our nation. I'm not sure if it's, it's maybe a bit sad. I was talking about this at the top of the show. When you see what's happening in the country, some of the people who are raising their fist and complaining and protesting, I just don't get the vibe that they are protesting on behalf of the nation and because they love the nation, because they care about the nation, because they have a deep respect for where our nation has come from, what it stands for, the founding principles of our nation. I don't get that from them. In fact, it seems much more as if they are trying to redefine what our nation stands for and trying to actually remodel it into something that they want. And what they want is something much more communist, much more collectivist, much more Marxist. When I see Chuck Schumer out by his, you know, this picture of Chuck Schumer that he posted on his social media, he's wearing his perfectly clean apron, got a little flipper, a hamburger flipper, holding in his hand, looking over the top of his glasses like he always does, with raw meat, raw hamburgers on the grill. Of course, there's no fire in the grill. It's just you know, he got his gas grill out there. He's getting ready to cook. And he already has cheese on the burgers. And they're raw. You don't do that. You just don't cook them that way. And this is obviously a photo op. It was obviously a staged photo. It's not a genuine thing. It's not real. It's not authentic. It's just fake, which leads you to believe that he is fake. And there are a few people in Washington who are more, or who are any less fake, I think, than when I think of authenticity, I don't think of Chuck Schumer. This guy's a polished professional politician who is as phony and as wishy-washy as anything I've ever seen in Washington, and yet he's still there somehow looking like a warmed over corpse. For years he's been that way. And I still can't get out of my mind the day that him and Nancy Pelosi go walking out to talk about they're going to impeach the president and blah, 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 blah. It's all political theater. It is nothing but phony portrayal. And when I see those kinds of things coming from the people who supposedly care so much about our country that they're leading our country, they're supposed to be our leaders, supposedly, and they're supposed to be our representatives, it says a lot about where the state of our nation is. And when you get half the country acting the way it does, and again, of course, there was another shooting at the White House over the weekend, someone trying to kill the president. It's getting more and more aggressive. Of course, it's happening more and more often. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often than it does. With the rhetoric and everything else that's going on the left, and then they turn right around. They're right away. They try to blame this. Oh, this is a Trump supporter. There's a guy. I think I might try to play this on tomorrow's show. I mean, maybe today's show. I could play it even. This guy goes. He's out asking people on the street. Of course, he's asking Democrats who the political violence is coming from. He names off all these shootings. He names off all this different stuff that's going on. He says, and they're convinced that it wasn't Democrats. The Democrats aren't doing that. Those aren't Democrats doing that. They literally think there's people on the right doing that. Now, there's becoming more and more of a, I call it the portrayal right, the people who are making their money on the right. Candace Owens recently interviewed Hunter Biden. I'll talk about that more later. But there's this group of people, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, there's some others who are kind of going off the deep end with some of their. They're getting very, I'd say they're getting gaslit, extremely. They're very susceptible individuals to that kind of thing. It's just their personality type. Interesting that's happening there. Anyway, I think you're right, Skip. I think there's a special special. There's a specific kind of personality type that's, I think, buying into a lot of the rhetoric, and it's mostly all because of one political party that wants power, creating a lot of division. And I think we just, because of that, we forget about what this day should be bringing us together, and not a point of division. And yet that's what it is, because it's because of the mentality of people hating this country. That's my opinion. So you can.
This is interesting. You're talking about authenticity, and I can't remember a time when we've had less of it in Washington. But here's the thing that gets me. Both sides are doing the exact same photo op theater, just with different props and messaging. That Chuck Schumer burger picture is ridiculous. Sure, but we're seeing the same manufactured nonsense from the other team, too. And I think we're missing the forest for the trees when we're pointing fingers instead of asking why our leaders stopped actually governing.
Okay, you know, this brings up a point. I want to push back on you, Skip, because here's something for you. Produce something. I always hear people say, "Oh, well, both sides do it. Both sides do it." Whenever you bring up specific incidences of things that the left is doing, and I can name off 20. They always, "Oh, well, both sides do it. Both sides are doing it." Both sides are. Please name one. Name something that the right is doing. Name something. Can you name anything? Just curious, because this is we like to go down this. We like to sound like we're balanced.
Look, I get what you're asking, but you're doing the exact thing I'm talking about. We're so locked into this tribal scorekeeping that we can't see straight anymore. You want me to name one thing, but naming things just feeds the cycle. How about we talk about why nobody in either party actually wants to solve anything when the division is what keeps them in power and keeps us arguing?
Okay, well, see, there's my... No, you're proving my point. The you can't name anything. It might bring it back. If there could be a balance, all I'm asking for is a balance in this and saying, okay, I hear this all the time. You bring up specific incidences, or you have to pull out the facts. And, well, both sides are doing it. Both sides are doing it. Both sides are blah, blah, blah. Okay. And that's fine. Okay, I'll accept it on its face until all of a sudden someone says, well, wait a minute. Really? Are both sides really doing it? When you actually become skeptical and you say, let's look at the facts. Can you produce anything? Because I can't think of anything. I could sit here and agree with it, saying, oh, yeah, okay, there's bad people on both sides. There's very bad people on both sides instead of very fine people on both sides. So that's fine, but please name something that is equivalent to or has any kind of, unless you can fine-tooth comb, pick something out, I suppose. If you find something, I'd like to know what it is. But we hear this because we want to be fair and balanced. So, oh, yeah, okay, there's bad people, there are bad things on both sides. Really? When the preponderance of the evidence says otherwise. It's kind of like saying, not all Muslims are terrorists, but almost all the terrorists are Muslims. That was something that's being said after 9/11. I'm not saying that's true now. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that's what was being said. I have my own opinion about that, and I'm not going to share it. But radical Islam is a huge issue, and it is very much in it feeds terror. I think it feeds a terrorist activity. It feeds a terrorist mindset. There's no question about that. So. It's an interesting concept that if, when we do push back on this, that people will say, oh, well, we should be working on things to move things forward. Yeah, okay, well, yeah, okay, that's, I agree, we should be moving things forward. No question about it, but we got to decide what forward is. Is forward the progressive movement trying to go forward with that ideology? And that's where I ran into this whole thing about Barack Obama. Everybody was saying, oh, you don't want him to succeed. That means the country's not going to succeed. No, I want the nation to succeed on its principles. What I saw coming from Barack Obama, and this is where Rush Limbaugh got into some trouble by saying that I hope he fails. People say, well, that means the nation's going to fail. No, I hope he fails in implementing his policies. I hope he's not successful in that respect, because his policies are collectivist. And it will mean the tearing down. It tore down our country. Everything that he implemented tore down our country. I'm sorry if you're on the side of Obama being your messiah, because on the left, he could do no wrong. He did no wrong. He was squeaky clean when he left office. There are still people posting that on Facebook. I see that occasionally. The Obama administration, never a scandal, not one single scandal in 8 years. Well, you are blind as a bat if you believe that. The just because the legacy media will not promote it, and if you say anything about it, you are you're just a hater. You're just a racist. Because you must be racist. Everything he did was perfect because he's black. Because if I say anything critical of him, that means you're racist. If I say anything critical of his policy, you don't say anything about the color of his skin, just what, you know, things that he did, you're racist. That's the way it works. It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, thanks for calling, Skip. I think that we got that interesting response there. I just have to push back on that kind of thing.
Greetings, Kevin.
Yes, hello.
As a historian, I'm compelled to ask about the parallels I'm seeing between today's AI arms race and the nuclear arms race of the 1940s and 50s. We have private companies racing to build something potentially dangerous, government scrambling to regulate, and everyone claiming their version is the most powerful. How do you think history will judge this moment, and are we repeating past mistakes?
Boy, this is a deep question. It may not look like it on the surface, but it actually is. There is kind of an arms race, so to speak, because supposedly in the midst of this, I mean, look at the military interest in AI. My understanding is that AI played a big part in playing out scenarios for the capture of Maduro, whatever his name is. And I believe they're running models all the time, running, you know, scenarios. They've always done war games and ran scenarios, and they've always had a plan of, okay, if we have to attack such and such country, how would that work? Who's going to align with who, and who's going to respond? Knowing what we know of their countries and knowing what we know of their alliances and what they're capable of, how are they going to respond? What is our position in all this? It's a constant chess match of potential ideas and potential. What are they going to actually do? What are we going to do? How is that nation going to respond if we do this? Or how are we going to respond if they do that? This is constantly being played out. Now, in AI, in the AI world, you can plug all of this data in, and it will run scenarios. It'll run 1,000 of them in a second. It just runs incredibly large number large amount of information in minutes anyway. And you can take that and take those outcomes, and you can look at those, and you can process those, and all this stuff that's going on. So you're running all this data, and you're trying to figure it all out. At the end of the day, people are still people, and they can change their mind in a heartbeat and do something that you're not expecting, and the machine certainly doesn't expect it. So it's you're playing out all the possibilities, and then you weigh out your potential, you know, outcomes from that, and you take your chances, and you say, we've got an 80% chance of this, 20% chance it won't, whatever. And you see how those things play out, and then of course in real time you have to replug your data back in again and see where you're at. I think they've probably done this a million times with everything that's going on in Iran. Now, so it becomes a war machine as much as it is a human factor, human compute thing, and development thing. You also have big money, big marketing firms, big sales companies, big people who are making lots of money selling goods and wares and everything else, who are heavily invested in it as well, because it is a big marketing tool as well. So there's a lot of leverage and a lot of advantage that comes through this kind of information processing and computing. So there's a huge thing happening there. So it's, and then you've got nation to nation, you've got, you know, China outdoing whoever's on top with the AI world is probably going to be militarily superior in a lot of ways. So I guess that is a big deal, and I think that we're heading for that. We'll have to see how it all pans out again, like anything else, but we'll see where we go.
You know, that's actually a really important historical parallel. We saw that exact dynamic play out during the Cold War with nuclear weapons, and before that, with industrialization itself.
Yeah, that's true.
The nation that controls the transformative technology of its era tends to hold enormous leverage. So I'd agree the AI advantage is going to matter militarily, but I think we're at a critical moment where we still have time to shape how that power gets distributed and regulated.
Yeah, and I question whether it can be. When you've got, we can't control, how do you regulate what China's doing? How do you regulate what Russia's doing? How do you regulate what North Korea is going to do? You have countries that are sovereign, have their own, you just can't step in and do things for them. Much like the nuclear programs that some of them have they just kind of ignore the rest of it. You know, the UN can get together all it wants to and can do all kinds of things. And how do you handle that? How do you regulate it? I guess is the question. I think there are nations that will go along and form treaties and actually, abide by their agreements, but that's more often than not, they don't, or they say they will and they don't. They always have this backside of everything that they're doing things on the covert side of things. So I guess that's the real question, is can it even be regulated? How do you do that? How would you go about it? Seems like it would be a very tough, very
That's difficult. The real rub, isn't it? Yeah, We've tried the treaty route since after World War II with mixed results. And honestly, the pattern you're describing with countries saying they'll comply, then doing whatever they want behind the scenes goes back centuries.
Yeah.
I think the only leverage that actually works is mutual deterrence, which is why this AI arms race feels different and frankly scarier than even the nuclear standoff, because at least with nukes, everyone could see the arsenals.
Yeah, it's much more in place. It's much more open and obvious. That is very true. So it's much more of a hidden thing. You can pack away a huge amounts of data in a small suitcase. It's where you can have a particular software that is very innocuous that can be very nefarious. So it's whole different ball game, and you almost need AI to combat AI. You almost have to have something that's a model that is capable of. There's a whole lot of cyber warfare going on right now, just with everything that's happening. So it's interesting. We'll see how it all works out. But good questions. Good questions. I think it's. I think the AI model is doing a fairly good job for what it is. It's going to be tied to the actual product's going to be tied to a little bit different model. The models are all algorithm based and everything else. It's not just AI is not just one thing out there. It's based on how the model is produced and set up and what it does and what it's capable of. So they steer it. It's not just on its own. Anyway, speaking of which, last week there was apparently my wife was listening to my show apparently last week or one of my shows from last week. And apparently during the show, I'm not sure which one it was. I was thinking maybe it was one of the ones I was traveling, but that wouldn't have been the case because I was recording the show with my little microphone, and it would have picked up on the playing of the callers. Apparently, I think it might have been actually the show I had. It might have been the live show that I had at the office. I think that's where I did it from. Anyway, one of the shows last week, apparently I didn't have the audio on for the callers, and it wasn't recording. So I was just talking to open air space, and I apologize for that. So there are, you know, even though the AI was working and it was doing its thing, I was not. I was not allowing it to do its thing. I was kind of sort of the human involved in that one. Made a mistake. Now I have caught mistakes that the AI has done as well. Sometimes it'll do some weird things. Yesterday I was programming. So I was programming this whole thing for show prep. Yesterday I was trying to get it programmed last week, and it was making some strange comments. So I double checked on it last night. I was like, "So you're going to come up with this thing at 5 o'clock in the morning? You're supposed to send me an email with all the show prep in it." And I said, just want to, you know, it's supposed to follow the topic of the day. Tomorrow's Technical Tuesday. I was talking about AI more today than I wanted to, but I don't have control over that. It's kind of got its own little thing. Whatever the big news is, which it's kind of taking top news stories from the weekend. And one of the things that it said was, you know, it starts at on Sunday at 5 a.m. I was like, no, it's Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. It had to readjust its clock. It was making all kinds of weird mistakes with what it was going to, you know, planning on doing. And I was like, you know, I had to recorrect everything and had to go back and fix some things. And I'm going through the process of having, you know, this main agent. It's much like setting up employees with a job description. And it's kind of an interesting format. You have to kind of think of it as employees with job descriptions, and then they have a person. You have to kind of program their character in terms of what they do, their responsibilities, their permissions, the things that they're allowed to do, things that they're not allowed to do without permission, things that, you know, that will stop them cold, other things that they can do that they're responsible for automatically, all those kinds of things. So sure enough, this morning at 5 a.m., I got an email, and it was from my little agent putting it all together and had all this stuff that I just plugged into the show, which is just pretty cool. And that's going to be part of the service provided by for the podcast caller app, that we'll be able to provide that for people for their app as well. So they can actually, it will actually fill in the blanks for them. They can either manually type things in for questions, or they can just automatically come up with questions for them that they won't even know what the questions are going to be until they hit the button, which I think is going to be a pretty cool part of the app. It's a little bit more complicated, because it has to be based on some of the things that you know, the history of the show, plus as well as, you know, things that they program into what they want to have searched and ask questions from. So it's kind of a fun little dynamic in that respect, because it's much more like a real caller when you do that. Now, of course, they still sound like robots, but they're going to hopefully be better and better as we continue to improve things. The other side of this thing, I want to talk about one other thing. We're getting really close to the end of the show here. And one of the other things I want to talk about is Sean Ryan interviewed Hunter Biden. I could not believe it when I saw it. I actually saw the picture of those two together and I clicked on the thumbnail. I was like, you got to be kidding me. There, he actually is interviewing Hunter Biden. Now, if you understand who Hunter Biden is and how he is, you know, his personality type, he is just like his father. With even less moral character. So Candace Owens now has decided to interview him as well, and she posted her interview, I think, last week or something. Whenever it was. And she is, there's this strange phenomena that happens. Now, the only reason I am talking about this is because I watched Robert Govea. He's a lawyer. He brought in a guy who has gone after this case in large ways over the last couple of years. Very, very analytical, very, very good in making his points. He's kind of a little bit of a savant when it comes to lawyer stuff, and arguing cases and doing that kind of thing. And he had this guy on his show, and I was going through the transcripts. They played it at like 1.25. And it's worth, if you're interested in it, it's worth the listen. Now, I couldn't care less about Hunter Biden's situation, whatever, you know, all the stuff that he's touting right now, until the guy repents. And grow up, repent, confess, and then maybe I'll take what you have to say seriously. But until then, I really couldn't care less about what you do or what you say, or all the excuses you have for what you did, what you've done. I'm sorry. Just don't even talk to me about it, because it's, you're just digging your hole deeper. Which is what he did. Now, there's this weird phenomenon. It's not Stockholm syndrome. I think there's a name for it. Some of you people out there who are psychology people, you can maybe tell me. But the Candace Owens is obviously starstruck by, I've got Hunter Biden here. This is a big deal. She's supercharged, and she goes along with everything he's saying, believes everything he's saying about what he's saying, and at the end ends up apologizing for some of the things she said about him. And laughingly calls him a crackhead. Oh yeah, I called you crackhead. Oh, you're a crackhead. the whole nature of the interview through the whole thing is he's obviously very skilled at gaslighting and manipulating people. He has done it all his life. And I can hear it in his voice when he's talking. And it's not about his voice, his vocal tone. In this case, it's about his cadence, the way he speaks. Now, remember, his father was an incredible liar. This reporter one day confronted him about his intelligence or whatever it was. And Joe Biden got back in the reporter's face and started saying, I graduated number two in my class, and I was this, and I was that, and I had five degrees. Blah, blah, blah. He went on just boasting about all the stuff he had done in college and university. And a reporter actually came back, because at that time, nobody on the left liked Joe Biden. They had other candidates. They were trying to eliminate Joe Biden from the race. This is probably back in 2000. He's run since 1978. I think he's been trying to run for president forever. And this reporter came back, and it was a left-wing mainstream reporter. None of those things are true. He graduated bottom of his class, and he blah, 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 and he only has one, he never made one degree. Blah, blah, blah. It was all this different stuff, refuting everything that Joe Biden had just said. And he rattled it off with such precision and such confidence that you thought he was just beating this reporter down. Of course, I think that was the whole problem, was he beat the reporter down with this information. So the other reporter's like, oh, I don't like the way this guy treats the press. So we're gonna look into this stuff. And they did, and they found out he was lying about everything. But to hear him, you would have been convinced totally that he just slapped that guy down and he was done. Well, it was just mic drop moment there. And yet everything was a lie. Well, his son learned that from the best, from Joe. And he's very good at it. And Candace went right along with everything he was saying. Now, what was interesting about this show was it wasn't about Hunter himself. It was about the education of how people lie, how people deceive themselves, and they bring other people into that deception, because that's exactly what he was doing. He is a master at it, and it was a master class in dissecting the things he was saying. Everything he was saying, if you circle back to what he said before and you listen to what he said, none of it connects. None of it. It is all gaslighting in real time, to the point where he has his moment where he, twice, he had two big moments where he had Candace basically caving in to the gaslight. And it wasn't a tough, confrontive, adversarial interview. It was a, oh, we both hate Trump now. We both hate this administration. And again, it was the whole thing of, oh, you know, people on both sides. Oh, you know, the administration. Oh, my dad's not an administration. My dad's not part of the establishment. Oh, he's not an elite establishment. He was one of the poorest people in office. He wasn't. But that was, again, it just keeps going down this whole thing, saying different things. And Candace just nodding her head, going right along with the whole thing. Oh, yeah, the establishment. Nobody's been more establishment than Joe Biden. Just because the establishment turned on him, which is that's exactly what the establishment does when they don't need you anymore, they turn on you. That's just the way the establishment is. So if therefore he's not a part of the establishment, he's been a part of the establishment for years. How do you think he got into being vice president under Obama? It's just more and more of that kind of thing just gets really frustrating, and it's just obvious to me. So you have all that going on. Anyway, I just always have to say,
what's wrong with you people?
Yeah, it's just that's where it ends up being. We'll be right back after this quick quick little message here.
Seven, four. But wait, there's more. 651. We're almost done. 76 and 85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a loser.
Don't be. No, dude. Anyway, the, yeah, don't text that number. Just go ahead and do it. Just do it. You know you want to. 574-651-7685. Anybody. Somebody, anybody. Text that number. Leave a message. See if it works. Just test it out. See if it works. See if you like it. And you might, you know, you never know. Might be something that you enjoy doing. You might do it four or five times a day. You know, just because it's so enjoyable. The, yeah, that's all we got to say. That's so. There, yeah, let's. I'm just gonna play this on the way. Let me. I'm gonna play another one of these. I just think they're fun. That's what I'm gonna do right now. This is a different version, a little different wording of the same thing. We're just gonna play it. See what you think of this.
Woke up this morning, got something to say, but before I say it, let me clear the air today. I'm just a person with a microphone and a thought. Not a doctor, not a lawyer, and I sure ain't got a lot. These are opinions, just opinions, baby. Not advice, not a diagnosis. Not a diagnosis, not a legal brief. If you take my words to court, well, I'm gonna plead not guilty, because I told you this is just for me. I got no license on the wall, no letters after my name. I do my research, sure I do, but it ain't quite the same. Your portfolio, your symptoms, and your contract dispute need someone way more qualified, and that ain't me, boo. For entertainment only, that's the bottom line. Come back and listen, have a laugh, everything's fine. But if something's wrong with your health or your finances too, please, for the love of all things good, don't just ask me what to do.
Well, there we are. There we are. That's all. That's what you got. We got, pretty funny. They have, I think it is anyway, I'm entertaining myself. That's what it's all about here. I'm entertaining myself. The, we're going to roll right into some things tomorrow. Tomorrow's Technical Tuesday. It'll be interesting to see what the bots have to say tomorrow, I guess. I don't know. We'll see if it's interesting or not, I guess. Maybe it will be. Maybe it won't be. I don't know if it'll be interesting or not. We'll just find out. Oh, goodness gracious. Only over an hour-long show. It just seemed like the time just flew by this morning. It's almost 8 o'clock already. We have, I hope that you have a great Memorial Day weekend, day, I guess what's left of it a day. Maybe you have the day off. We have, a few things for tomorrow. We have, probably going to talk about some tech stuff, more about what we talked about today, a little bit more in terms of technical stuff, just the nuts and bolts of AI, some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, that's great. If you're not, you might still get some entertainment out of the show, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how it works out. I'll tell you a little bit more about my journey with AI. I'll just get more of the personal side of things. Talk a little bit about how it's developing, things that are happening behind the scenes, that kind of thing. In the meantime, folks, God bless. I hope you have a great day, great rest of your week. And go on and not just have a day to remember, a life over remembrance. See ya.